Homodeus, a brief history of tomorrow. The rat race. Even if we go on running fast enough and manage to fend off both economic collapse and ecological meltdown, the race itself creates huge problems. On the individual level, it results in high levels of stress and tension. After centuries of economic growth and scientific progress, life should have become calm and peaceful, at least in the most advanced countries. If our ancestors knew what tools and resources stand ready at our command, they would have surmised we must be enjoying celestial tranquility, free of all cares and worries. The truth is very different. Despite all our achievements, we feel a constant pressure to do and produce even more. We blame ourselves, our boss, the mortgage, the government, the school system. But it's not really their fault. It's the modern deal, which we have all signed up to on the day we were born. In the pre-modern world, people were akin to lowly clerks in a socialist bureaucracy. They punched their card and then waited for somebody else to do something. In the modern world, we humans run the business. So we are under constant pressure day and night. On the collective level, the race manifests itself in ceaseless upheavals. Whereas previously social and political systems endured for centuries, today every generation destroys the old world and builds a new one in its place. As the Communist Manifesto brilliantly put it, the modern world positively requires uncertainty and disturbance. All fixed relations and ancient prejudices are swept away, and new structures become antiquated before they can ossify. All that is solid melts into air. It is not easy to live in such a chaotic world, and it is even harder to govern it. Hence, modernity needs to work hard to ensure that neither human individuals nor the human collective will try to retire from the rat race, despite all the tension and chaos it creates. For that purpose, modernity upholds growth as a supreme value for whose sake we should make every sacrifice and risk every danger. On the collective level, governments, firms, and organizations are encouraged to measure their success in terms of growth and to fear equilibrium as if it were the devil. On the individual level, we are inspired to constantly increase our income and our standard of living. Even if you are quite satisfied with your current conditions, you should strive for more. Yesterday's luxuries become today's necessities. If once you could live well in a 3-bedroom apartment with one car and a single desktop, today you need a 5-bedroom house with 2 cars and a host of iPods, tablets, and smartphones. It was not very hard to convince individuals to want more. Greed comes easily to humans. The big problem was to convince collective institutions such as states and churches to go along with a new ideal. For millennia, societies strove to curb individual desires and bring them into some kind of balance. It was well known that people wanted more and more for themselves, but when the pie was of a fixed size, social harmony depended on restraint. Avarice was bad. Modernity turned the world upside down. It convinced human collectives that equilibrium is far more frightening than chaos. And because avarice fuels growth, it is a force for good. Modernity accordingly inspired people to want more and dismantle the age-old disciplines that curbed greed. The resulting anxieties were assuaged to a large extent by free market capitalism, which is one reason why this particular ideology has become so popular. Capitalist thinkers repeatedly calm us. Don't worry, I'll be okay. Provided the economy grows, the invisible hand of the market will take care of everything else. Capitalism has thus sanctified a voracious and chaotic system that grows by leaps and bounds without anyone understanding what is happening and where we are rushing. Communism, which also believed in growth, thought it could prevent chaos and orchestrate growth through state planning. After initial successes, it eventually fell far behind the messy free market cavalcade. Bashing free market capitalism is high on the intellectual agenda nowadays. Since capitalism dominates our world, we should indeed make every effort to understand its shortcomings before they cause apocalyptic catastrophes. Yet criticizing capitalism should not blind us to its advantages and attainments. So far, it's been an amazing success. at least if you ignore the potential for future ecological meltdown and if you measure success by the yardstick of production and growth. In 2016, we may be living in a stressful and chaotic world, but the doomsday prophecies of collapse and violence have not materialized, whereas the scandalous promises of perpetual growth and a global cooperation are fulfilled. Although we experience occasional economic crises and international wars, in the long run, capitalism has not only managed to prevail, but also to overcome famine, plague, and war. For thousands of years, priests, rabbis, and muftis explained that humans cannot overcome famine, plague, and war by their own efforts. Then along came the bankers, investors, and industrialists, and within 200 years, managed to do exactly that. So the modern deal promised us unprecedented power, and the promise has been kept. Now what about the price? In exchange for power, the modern deal expects us to give up meaning. How did humans handle this chilling demand? Complying with it could easily have resulted in a dark world devoid of ethics, aesthetics, and compassion. Yet the fact remains that humankind is today not only far more powerful than ever, it is also far more peaceful and cooperative. How did humans manage that? How did morality, beauty, and even compassion survive and flourish in a world devoid of God, of heaven, and of hell? Capitalists are, again, quick to give all the credit to the invisible hand of the market. Yet, the market's hand is blind as well as invisible, and by itself could never have saved human society. Indeed, not even a country fair, can maintain itself without the helping hand of some god, king, or church. If everything is for sale, including the courts and the police, trust evaporates, credit vanishes, and business withers. What then rescued modern society from collapse? Humankind was salvaged not by the law of supply and demand, but rather by the rise of a new revolutionary religion, humanism. The next chapter will be called The Humanist Revolution. That's it for today. I create a lot of content. I run a debating podcast. I write stories. I film videos with a drone. And I run many other projects too. If you'd like to stay informed of things I do, sign up to my private newsletter. It's free. Head to bit.ly/newslettersebastian, all attached and in lowercase. Thank you for listening.